politics is so boring, right? At the end of the day.
Well, that's a great place to start. I would say that for me, this moment is a sort of return of politics to the French scene.
Mm-hmm.
You know, at least in the 10 years that I've been coming and living in this country,
uh-huh.
it seems to me like I'm going to the train station and talking to random people about the threat of fascism, which was not the case 6 months ago.
That's been the case for people who know about Macron's project, right? Which is really kind of an infuriated neoliberalism. So since he's deploying this kind of politics since over the last 7 years, maybe it's not of a surprise if fascism comes back, you know, so brutally in a few weeks, at least.
The other day, I was on the Antifada podcast as a guest, and I tried to give an overview of the whole situation. So I think we can just skip the overview part, and I can link to that podcast if people aren't aware of what we're talking about. But when we begin, Pierre-Louis, I'd like to welcome you onto the Forums podcast.
Thank you very much for coming.
I've invited you because of your involvement with the Hope and Justice movement, which is a Christian movement against the rise of the far right. And is there anything else you'd like to say about yourself before we begin in earnest?
I'm a Roman Catholic, a professor and researcher in sociology, affiliated with the Institut de Recherche pour le Développement, Institute for Research and Development, which is a French public body dedicated to scientific research. So I'm trying to think about the world that is coming from both the perspective of theology on the private side and as a public professional trained in sociology. So I'm trying to navigate these two disciplines. And I'm part of a small collective that is named Anastasis. We are a group of friends with various professional occupations, but who we all share the conviction that Christians should really engage more forcefully for an anti-capitalist society and criticize, you know, all kinds of domination that are getting more and more dominant, right, in the world today.
And so why are you supporting the Hope and Justice movement?
I think at the beginning, the idea of this meeting crystallized in a moment when, as you just mentioned, there was a backlash, you know, of fascism and, fascism, however you call it, right? The Rassemblement National won the poll at the European elections. And there was a shared sense among a variety of youth organization movements in Catholic organization movements that it was wrong, right, not to say anything about this. When I mention Catholic organization movements, they are actually quite small. So the small collective of which I'm part, which is meant to develop kind of a radical theology, right, in order to face, you know, the world we live in. A small associative cafe that is called Dorothy after Dorothy Day, which is based in Paris. So there is a small team of young Catholics who are volunteering in this cafe, who are really trying to be, you know, a welcoming presence for the persons who are living in the 20th arrondissement of Paris, right? Northeast of Paris, which is quite popular. And then there was a third organization, which is also quite young and small, but which is called like Lutte et Contemplation, so Struggle and Contemplation, which aims to develop a new, I will say, Catholic movement in order to help people get more conscious about, help people get more conscious about the need to engage more forcefully against you know, all kind of projects that are destructive from an ecological point of view, right? To struggle against useless projects, right? Mega projects. So the three organizations, Anastasis, Dorothy, and Lutte Contemplation, decided to organize a meeting, you know, for all people, including for all type of Christians, including people at the center who are really opposing the ideas of the Rassemblement National, the far right party. And we knew, we had this knowledge that back in the early 2000s, the Conference of Bishops had explicitly called against, you know, had warned Catholics that their voting for the Rassemblement National, which was called Front National at the time, was contrary to, you know, the call of the gospel, right? But Since this party has won more and more support, among French population, the Bishop Conference got more and more probably, and I would say, conservative, and decided not to talk that much about politics anymore. The other reason, which is quite significant, is the crisis of sexual abuse in the church, right? And now the Conference of Bishops are way more cautious about the way they give lessons to the public, right, in France, because they've been really discredited by all what has been going on in this crisis.
So we've talked about the Catholic youth organizations and left-wing organizations you've mentioned, the Catholic of Conference Bishops, former stronger stance and now more or less radio silence. And in
Maybe
it, just
simple for
looking
me
at the
to maybe to also to add that the Lutheran Calvinist churches in France, the union of these churches, has been very forceful, in the meeting we've organized last Sunday, in order to participate and to be a voice, in this Christian call against the far right, right? So it's really important to insist on that point, because of France history since the 16th century, the Reformation was really hit hard by Louis the 14th, right? And the Protestants have always been more, maybe cautious about the minorities, right? So they're really, they're really wary of the Front National for that reason, right? Because of their also of their history of being martyred in France, right?
Yeah. And we also have there's a number of other organizations. People can go to justice espérance dot org
H.
and look at all of the organizations. I did want to ask a particular question, which is I don't see any of the so-called Christian labor unions here. Where are they at? I know one guy who's in the CFTC, and they're not doing anything. They're not doing any kind of mobilization. What do you think is up with that?
To be honest, it's difficult for me to respond because I have no empirical data that
Oh,
are
you have no information.
sufficiently
Well, we can
fresh.
skip that question.
Yeah, no, it's difficult for me to understand to respond precisely, because I don't really know the CFTC. I know that they have had over the last years kind of a kind of a social conservative turn, where at the end of the day, it seems that conservative issues have taken the hold over their whole, ideology, and they are really, maybe they have some porosity with the ideas of the Rassemblement National, right? Because they have a corporatist mindset that may be aligned somehow with the Rassemblement National. I don't know. I can't
No, I
assert
mean, the
anything
one
on
guy
that.
I know that's in the CFTC told me he w was thinking about j voting for Bardella and the
Okay.
national rally. So,
Sadly.
as a member of the CGT, I'm obviously out there every single, big demo pushing with people. And I see like even the sort of liberals of the CFTT are there, right? And then I'm like, where is the CFTC, And then it's like, oh, maybe they're not really on our side. So that was the
No.
first question I was going to ask was about the Protestants, which you already answered, that it's an ecumenical movement of basically all of the Christians
Of
of
course.
goodwill. There's more than 10,000 people on the signatories page. I signed it as an Eastern Orthodox. I support the movement. The question I guess we should ask is, well, there's really two that I would like to get in before we maybe open it up to more general topic, which is, why doesn't the Justice and Espérance just say vote for the Popular Front? What's this stuff about the against the far right?
Yes, I think that on this point we had of course conversations while organizing the meeting, right? But of the principle of this meeting was to assemble a kind of ecumenical base among Christians who have different reasons for opposing the Front National, right?
Yeah.
And we had a sense that many of these people are on the center, but they refuse the bipolarization of political life that Emmanuel Macron has tried to organize between the extreme far right and the center. well, his own position, whatever, however you call it, you label it, right?
Extreme narcissist bull.
Yeah, probably. So, and there are many people, and we wanted also to include all the people who feel that they are more on the center, or that they are liberal, but they are not really ready to be taken on stage like this by Macron, to oppose, right, the Front National. Because of course, but well, of course, there are different groups, right, in the movement, in just open justice movement, justice and hope, sorry. And we wanted to respect the differences, right? That was the main
Okay.
issue, right? But we
No,
know that there
I
are
can
some groups that
understand
are
if you're
more
trying to
moderate,
make a
right?
Big Ten organization, you have to
Yeah.
phrase things in a way that's politique. That makes sense.
Yeah, but
I just wanted to
then,
bring that up if people are looking at it. You know, I
yeah.
think you and I are in agreement that we should support the Popular Front, and
Yeah,
other
we
people
do.
may be a little bit skittish.
Yeah, for example, Anastasis, so the small group, small collective, we've made a short article to explain that we were, of course, supporting the Justice and Hope, rally, and at the same time calling for the NFP, right, while recognizing that it's normal that not everyone attending the
Sure.
rally wants to support the NFP, right? That's
And how did the
basics.
rally go? I saw there was like, what, 400 people that showed up?
And so it was pretty small, but we were, pressured by the time, because as maybe the listeners of the podcast don't know, but Macron summoned the elections in a very short time. So the parties
Yeah.
were very taken by this lack of time, and it was difficult to organize. And for us, well, it was also difficult to organize in a very short amount of time. So it was also quite difficult to communicate in parishes. Because then a few days before, so at the middle of the week before Sunday, so a few days before Sunday, the Conference of Bishops issued a statement for the election, but didn't really call for a vote that will be directed against the far rights. They had a more maybe consensual or neutralized, depoliticized statement. So it was also difficult for us to go in parishes and say, hey, we pr propose you to rely or to come to our meeting, because then people would have asked, but what about what is called now the far left? And yeah, and because we are trying to debunk at the same time all the false narratives about the Front Populaire being the extreme left. So we are trying to debunk these stories. And of course, for people who are more moderate, the center of the political spectrum, it can be quite disappointing to come at a meeting that it's dedicated to denounce the far right without at the same time denouncing the far left, right? There is an issue about long-term political cultures that cannot really evolve in a 2 weeks
And
time.
Macron has been, I mean, the whole media apparatus in France, like the bourgeois press, has been pushing this equivocation, right? As
Of
if
course.
Jean-Luc Mélenchon is a former like SS member or something. It's ridiculous, you know? As
I've not
like
heard about
there's
that one.
one party with ties to, you know, Aquila Popularis and the GUD and all the, you know, Ordre Nouvel and, you know, all these groups. And it's not the left
Yeah,
party,
no, for
you know?
sure, for sure. So we've not been helped by this, media framing of the elections that are coming up, but it was also like more practically, it's just difficult, to
Yeah.
convince thousands of people to come to a rally. But we knew we well we know when we guess and we imagine that there are far more than 400 people that are sympathetic with our
I mean, it's my
project.
case. I didn't come to the rally because I don't have time to plan a trip to Paris just on a
Yeah, of course, it's
dime,
very
you know.
far.
There's no time to like campaign. So,
Yeah.
I fully understand the turnout. I was just asking as somebody that was there, do you feel like it had a good ambiance? Did you feel
Yeah,
like
of course.
everything
Yeah, of
went
course.
well?
It was really good.
Okay.
I think, I mean, although what we are trying to show and to probably to give testimony of is that we can be joyful and keep hope, in these situations that look very blocked and very complex. So we tried to interweave different moments during this meeting. That will be ones that will be more discourses and speeches, and a true moment of prayer, a genuine moment of prayer. And yeah, but it was quite simple,
And I think it's also good to begin this kind of sequence of mobilizations, because let's say the far right does come to power, right? We're going to need Christians to step up in a consistent way over time. And this moment of coming out, even if you only get 400 people at the first rally, this is the beginning point. And I think it's also very important, and I've written about this, and some people that I know have kind of debated me about this point, but one reason why I'm willing to go out and push so hard now, even though I'm not really an electoralist personally, like I don't do a lot of election stuff in general, is because I think it's important now in this like short window to make very clear and public we oppose what's going on, so that whatever happens after, June 30th, whatever goes on, we were clear and we were like developing this line of opposition from the beginning, you know?
Exactly. Yeah, I think it was, well, what you are saying is exactly what we had in mind organizing the meeting. I was personally not the one who was the most involved in the organization, right? But the comrades were really after,
Of course.
the very practical things. They had their ideas very clear about that, and we had, well, a chance to discuss about that while they were starting, right, to engage into the process of organizing the meeting in Paris.
So I have two other questions. I don't know how much time you have. I don't want to take up your whole
Go on,
afternoon,
go
but I
on.
have two questions, and just let me know when you run out of time. The first is, I feel like in this country, for the American listeners, for example, the Catholic Church is like the evangelicals in America here, where, everybody is like Catholic in some sense. It's very easy to be like quote unquote Catholic in France and not go to church and maybe also be like a semi-fascist or whatever. So how do you feel like as a Catholic who's clearly taking your faith seriously, who's clearly socially engaged, how do you make sense of this sort of de-spiritualized cultural Catholicism, right? That people appeal to as like part of what it means to be French, quote unquote, on the right. This idea of Catholicism as a kind of I don't know, a deep an unbloodied signifier, right?
Well, of course, it's an immense question, but maybe what I can say is that what is quite striking about the far right in France is that Marine Le Pen, so the Rassemblement National, the party that has gathered most of the poll, right, and who is supposed to win probably the next elections, it's not a party that has really capitalized on this, Catholic identity, right?
Yeah.
Because historically, there have been Catholics involved at the Rassemblement National, but they've been, probably they are disconsidered by Marine Le Pen as sectarian and probably unstrategic, right? Because they've really pushed in favor of small projects like on euthanasia or probably abortion, of course, all these life politics, right? And there is this very strong tradition in France of laïcité, which is very anti-religious at some point. And I will say that Marine Le Pen is very much is way much closer to this tradition of laïcité, right? And she's very wary of Catholics, right? Because she recently told to any newspapers that they were sectarian and unreliable, right? And it's interesting that in the European elections that we had recently, two candidates that are on the far right, like François-Xavier Bellamy, who is part of Les Républicains, was historically the right party, the conservative party in France. Now his discourse is very much on the far right, and Éric Zemmour, who was a candidate at the last presidential elections. These two guys, so Éric Zemmour is really it's really an extremist, right? He's really an all-out racist.
I mean, when we
Probably
say he's a
responsible.
racist, it's not like our opinion. Like he's been condemned repeatedly by the justice system for
Thank
making
you.
explicitly racist remarks. It's like if
Of
you
course.
get fined more than once for being racist publicly, we
You
can
really
call you a
insist on
racist.
that. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's really
You know.
insisting on that on that point, yeah. And but François-Xavier Bellamy was more of a, more of a traditional conservative political tradition in France. And these two guys, even at the European elections, if I'm not wrong, they gathered 12% of the polls, right? And they are better attractors of the traditional Catholic votes, right? Their discourse is more explicitly Catholic. But
Marine Le
the
Pen, correct me if I'm wrong, but Marine Le Pen did vote to make abortion a constitutional right.
Constitutional, yes, to protect abortion, of course. So that's quite interesting because there are apparently a significant bunch, like significant portion of French so-called Catholics who are voting for the Rassemblement National, but well, there is nothing really Christian in this party anymore since they don't even, stand up for, life politics, early life and end of life politics. They are completely xenoph
They don't have this
anti.
excuse that Americans have to vote for
Yeah,
the
of
right
course,
wing, which is like, well, we
they
have
don't
to
have it.
oppose abortion. Like, you're voting
They
for a
don't
party
have
that supports abortion. There's nothing
it.
there.
That's very strange. So,
You just don't like immigrants. You're anti-Muslim. I mean,
well,
is that unfair? It's mostly an anti-Muslim thing.
it's mostly anti-Muslim, But I guess that Marine Le Pen, well, 12%, so 12% at the European elections, which is a proportional mode of, polling, right? It's not nothing, right? So she will probably
Sure.
have to make deals with that far right side of her, well, this other family of the far right, which is more explicitly Christian and conservative. So we don't know exactly how it will go. And yes, but I will say that it's our culture is quite different from that in the US because we don't have this, we have this laïcité, which is a very important, it creates a spectrum between laïcité and capitalism, which organizes maybe French political culture. And there are many conservatives and, people on the far right who are quite anti-religious somehow.
This actually leads into my other question, which is, given the sort of orientation of the Justice and Esperance, the faith and hope movement, or justice and hope, I should say, do you think it's possible to be both Catholic and Republican, like to be Républicain in this way? Because I would consider myself both Orthodox and Républicain and communist. But I might have a different line than you. So as a French Catholic, how do you square that?
Actually, it's quite from the context we are now, it's quite of an abstract question because we are in a position of minority, so we try to be creative, right, as Catholics on the left in France, but we know that we are a very small minority compared to, I mean, the sociology of Catholicism in general. There are not only people on the far right, but there are a lot of people who are in the center and that are not really politicized. So that's still the vast majority, right, of Catholics,
When
of
you
course.
say we're a minority, because my understanding is that most French people would say they're Catholic in some sense, or is that not true? Is it like a 40%?
Probably, yes. Yes, probably.
So is that what you mean
I don't
by
know
the
what that means,
minority, or
right? There
the
are
idea of
various
the left
polls.
and Catholic?
There are various polls, and it's probably true that most French people, like, I don't know if it's most, but a significant fraction of French people, they identify themselves with Catholicism, right? But as a minority of, as a Catholics on the
Practicing
left,
believers,
and believers, we are really a minority. So we don't really think about our general stance towards the Republic in general, right? We are just trying to make sense of our theological political situation and trying to write interesting things about how we can, navigate these troubled times and make sense of our belonging to a church that was once, very powerful and very strong, in society, even if there was always this struggle with laïcité, at least for the last two centuries. The Catholic Church was very powerful in France, even a few decades ago, and now it's very tiny. And we are still thinking about, like, for example, the Archdiocese of Paris is still preparing the reopening of Notre Dame, right? As its mother church. I don't know if you say it. And it's kind of a paradox, right? Because now there are a very small fraction of French people who are practicing Catholics. And we are still, celebrating a grandeur that doesn't exist anymore, right? I mean,
Sort of a fictional grandeur.
So we are, I think that on the left, we are really, so we, the small groups of Catholics on the left, we are really trying to think about, really, seriously about what does it mean to live in the ruins of an institution that is completely, small, that is really small now, and that has been really, so in numbers, and that has been really shaken by the crisis on sexual abuses, right?
Yeah.
And because we had
Well,
a quite,
let me turn the knife even more. Let me make it more difficult.
yeah,
I
please
was
go.
recently reading in a little bit of Jean Jaurès and the great left-wing hero Louis-Auguste Blanqui. And Jaurès says something like, we oppose the church because the church is essentially opposed to human rights. And Louis-Auguste Blanqui would say, like, the first thing we need to destroy in the revolution is the church. Even before the like rule of the bourgeoisie, is that this idea is like in historically in the French left, the Catholic Church has a very big problem, And how would you at the 21st century, when you think about the sort of like parkour of the Catholic Church from the 19th, the 18th, 19th, 20th, 21st century, how do you navigate that? Because I have like Americans telling me, that the French Revolution was essentially satanic and all sorts of things. But I personally think it's good that the French people recognize the supreme being and the immortality of the soul. I don't know what do you think about those things?
Well, actually, I really wish the book of Samuel Moynihan, Christian Human Rights, could be translated into French because it's not available to the French public. But if I remember correctly, the argument he makes is that after the 17 revolution in Russia, right, the Catholic Church starts to recognize the importance of human rights as a concession, right? Not as a concession, but as a recognition that it was probably necessary to give something to, for the social movements and for the workers' movement, to give them something to, at least, right? If they were not supportive of the full complete revolution as was as the Russian that the Russian were trying to implement, but they started to recognize human rights when the workers' movement started to become quite dangerous, right? So it's quite interesting to bear this in mind because I think that you're right in saying that the well, and Jaurès, of course, and Blanqui are right to say that the church is essentially a conservative institution, right? But now, so there have been these, unexpected, developments in history, and then Vatican II. That appeared as a moment of confirmation that these intuitions that had surfaced in the church after the Russian Revolution were not so bad actually, and they were probably closer to the gospel than anything else that had been experimented before. And I think that while French cat on the left in France, like probably in other countries, I wish so, are really aware that they need to protect and give justice to the hermeneutics of Vatican II, right? Which is really under attack, of course, in the US, but also in France. Even if it's less aggressive than in the US, it's quite significant too, right?
I would also say that just as somebody who lives in this country and is friends with Catholics and sees things, like you have these weird counterexamples, like Sophie Binet, the head of our union, the CGT, who her formative experience was coming up in the young Catholic, not the Catholic Workers, but one of these other young Catholic organizations. I forget which one it's called, right? But like, I mean, I don't know if Jean Jaurès could believe back in his day that the head of the CGT would have been formed by the Catholic youth movement, So there was clearly a change somewhere in the 20th century where Catholics, stopped being antisocial in this way,
There are some translations in English on the way of Marie-Dominique Chenu, no, the great Thomist, was probably one of the pioneers of the rediscovery of Thomas Aquinas in the 20th century before the Second Vatican Council, right? And I think Chenu was very, very much against this renaissance, right, of a Catholic worker movement in France. And but it was after, the church started to recognize that there was something like individual consciousness that had to be protected, from any kind of heteronormative, heteronomy. So yes, so Chenu is very strong. And I think it's being more and more read in the US, at least in some parts of the US church, of the American church, and I think it's for good.
And I guess, I mean, my question for you as somebody that's very rooted in this movement and is active in this moment, what to you are sort of the signs of hope? And like, what would like narrate for me what you and the groups that you're part of, what is sort of your vision, right, of a path forward? Because I think a lot of people get stuck, and like obviously the Justice and Hope movement is opposing the far right. That's urgent. That's what we have to do right now. But I feel like there's something with the new Popular Front that inspires me, at least as a union man, to say, like, this is actually a good program. This is like a positive vision that I can support, you know? Like, I want women to get menstrual leave. I want my kid not to pay money to, you know, eat in the canteen. You know what I mean? I
Of
want,
course.
you know, retirement at 60 years. So there's this sort of positive orientation. And I'm wondering for you, for the Catholic left, what does that look like? Like, what if you succeed in what you want to do? Narrate me what would happen, you know, in the next year, 2 years, 5 years, whatever.
Yeah, I mean, of course we all agree that the program that is defended by the NFP is a progressive one. It has good elements, and it's really important because it stays focused on, social emergencies, climate investments, these kind of things that are obviously required, right, to protect the common good in the 21st century, right? But beyond that, I think that what we are really concerned of, as Catholics on the left, is really to try to give a new spirit maybe to our church that is getting old, in Europe, Western Europe, and our French Catholic Church. At least the leaders, the bishops, the priests, are really, absorbed by, well, they are really afraid when they see the institution decline, right? And they are trying to manage an institution that is really declining.
Because that's
And
really
really,
what I would say is essentially conservative. Isn't the Catholic religion, isn't the actual like ecclesia, but it's this sort of institutional accretion that's conservative. You see what I mean?
no, of course. I mean, that's why, I mean, the rediscoveries that were made after Vatican II about the first centuries of the church, all the scholarship that is getting developed, right? Yeah, you're an Eastern Orthodox, so you probably know John Baer, right? Who is writing a
Yeah,
lot
very
of
good.
church fathers. So I think that this rediscovery of the early church is something that we are doing with all the Christians, actually, who are concerned about having a different stance towards, the world as it goes, right? So there are, of course, people in the Orthodox churches, but also among evangelicals or Protestants who are interested, in getting back to the very early fathers, trying to understand how the ecclesia was organized at the time, and trying to reboot, right,
Yeah.
Christianity not as an institution, but as a form of life, right? And we very much, and also, well, another thing is that in France, we also feel probably somehow, I think that we are lucky, right? Because we are living in a city, well, most of my friends and I are living in Paris, that has been the epicenter of the Renaissance of Catholicism in the 20th century, right? If you count the
Yes.
big theologians like Lubac, like Chenu, like Congar, like many of them, they were in Paris, right? And we feel like today there are so many like conservative forces that are completely ignoring the legacy of these guys, right? And we are there, a few bunch of, of friends, and we are re rediscovering these guys, and we are really trying to think about what has changed, since they've been writing a few decades ago, and how we can, maybe develop fresher thoughts and ideas about the current situation, what it means to be a Catholic. And I'm working personally for my research on Brazil, and I had the opportunity to travel there recently, and you can feel when you were there that you are in the peripheries, right, of global Catholicism, because I was not in Rio de Janeiro nor in Aparecida, so I was really, in remote regions in Brazil, and you really feel that, well, that's another layer of complexity for global Christianity today, is that it's a Eurocentric religion, right? So it's very difficult to think about, well, what's next, once you decolonize knowledge, and including, theological, knowledge. So that's a very thorny issue, but at least we know in our case that we are in the center in Paris, one of the centers at least, and we have these legacies of people who were there a few decades ago, and they were so brave. I mean, even Lubac, who turned a bit conservative at the end, well, clearly conservative at the end of his days, at the end of his life. During the Second World War, he was really all out against the Nazi occupation. He took risks. He disobeyed his hierarchy in the Jesuit, in the Society of Jesus. So we have lots of things to know, and this tradition of, developing a theological thought, or at least some sort of, yeah, theological thinking, in a tense political situation. We are not inventing everything. We are trying to really reread all these previous experiences and try to say something new from France. Because I think that even if we have to decolonize the Catholic Church, of course, maybe we have a responsibility even for the Global South, right? Not to be patronizing or anything like that, but at least to speak from where we are, and also to think about what it means to build a more modest Catholic Church that wouldn't be an imperialist church, but a more comprehensive and context sensitive way of being Christian today, right?
Well, I guess, let me ask you one more question on this topic. On Sunday, I was at a very large march, and as I was saying at the beginning of the recording, something that's really marked this period of this build-up to this election for me is the repoliticization of French society, the reposing of political questions per se, where I'm sitting at the playground, watching my kid run around, and moms are coming to ask me, "Hey, when is the next protest?" Right? And so I went with like this other family that I met on the playground, and like who would have known it, but this mother is actually a feminist activist and somebody that used to go to marches when she was at school in Paris, but has kind of fallen out of politics, but holds still those beliefs. And like her family is militant atheist, right? They're well, maybe not militant, but you know what I mean. They're very strong atheists, and I've been getting to know them for a few months now. And so we went and marched around and everything and everything. And we went and, had dinner afterward. And we were sitting there talking. And I just mentioned in passing about, a priest that I was talking to. And they're like, "What, a priest?" And I was like, "Yeah, well, I mean, I'm Eastern Orthodox, And they've never been to my apartments, so they've never seen the icons. I think that's what did not tip them off, right? Or they thought I was just collecting weird art, who knows? But and they were like, there was a pause on the whole conversation, And I said, "Well, in our religion, we don't proselytize. Like we're opposed to proselytism." And I could see like they were very surprised, and also started telling me about how they had like looked for a spiritual experience or whatever. I was just very candid with them, like, a spiritual experience is something that you have or you don't have. I can't, it's not something I can like judge somebody that they've never felt
Course.
God or you know what I mean? And compared to like the sort of how do I put this? Like that kind of, to me, that's accompaniment, as the Holy Father says, right? And when I, see folks on all these land projects like at the ZAD or Notav or the Soulèvement de la Terre and things like this, like people are looking for spirituality, People have a spiritual connection with the earth that I think is real and legitimate, but they don't have necessarily an interest in religion, because for them, religion just represents, as I was saying earlier, opposition to human rights, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, right? So, as a Catholic who is part of these movements that is socially engaged, it seems to me that you have actually an opportunity to evangelize in the non-proselytizing way. What do you think about that?
Yeah, of course. Among the last years, in the last years, we've been invited, and we have had various opportunities to discuss with that kind of groups, right? Who are mobilized in grassroots, positions to variety of projects against mega basin. I know you would translate them in English, but
I translate as mega basins.
mega basins, which is nearly the same, right? Or against the burial of nuclear decay, right, in the
Yeah.
northeast of France, right? So we had various opportunities to connect with collectives of, young people mobilizing, in this kind of grassroots position movements. And it has been always very, very interesting and very very fruitful, I will say, because these people who are really confronting the brutality of the police or who are being spied and surveilled, they are really in some sort of a, well, yeah, they are living a spiritual struggle, right? Because
Yeah.
you are put to the test. State power can be quite, crushing. So we've had like very deep conversations. I will say that in these situations, what we are bringing, what we are trying to bring is that, or to make more explicit, is that Christianity in general, I will say, but Catholicism, which is our tradition in particular, but I will say Christianity in general, because it's really a ecumenical argument, is very much of a grammar to make sense of hope, in situations that look hopeless, right? And I feel there are very clear foundations for that in the Gospels, right? Because these, very humane, mundane situation of losing hope because you were really expecting something that seemed possible and probably, yeah, possible, that suddenly doesn't happen or just fails. It's just the story, not only of, of the disciples with Jesus, but more generally of Israel in the Old Testament, right? Or the people of Israel in the Old Testament, and all the covenant story, right, of God and the people of Israel, and that, this relation that breaks down and that's being reconstructed and breaks down again. So, and I think it's a very concrete way of talking about God, right? I would say that the Western world and Western culture in general has really been crippled by a cognitive bias, because we all ask the question, does God exist, right? And there are loads of books in order to show that God exists. And in the US, you have all the
Hey, I have
natural.
arguments.
We have lots of arguments by
Sir, would
natural.
you like an argument for the existence of
Yeah, of
God? I
course,
have a
sir.
few.
And
I have
especially
five, actually, I can give you right
in
now.
the And this tradition is stronger in the US and Anglophone world, of natural theology than in France. We don't have that much this sensibility for natural theology, but we have all sorts of questions that are really cognitive about, does God exist? And maybe people respond yes or no, but actually you don't really see the difference in their lives, right?
Sure.
But I will say that the true question is that is rather, where is God? I mean, that's more the question that you find in the Bible, because the question, does God exist, doesn't exist in the Bible, people won't care, because it's not even a question, right? It's a very bizarre question, right?
It is a strange question.
Where is God is more of a humane, really deeply ingrained question, in the, I would say, even in the, yeah, because it's a very deep question, I will say. It's not, I will say, I wouldn't say it's a natural question, because we know, if you read a bit of the social sciences, we know that it emerged at a certain point in history, this manner of relating to transcendence, right? It has a history, right? It's not something that will happen to anyone in any community in the world, right? But since we have discovered this mode of, connecting to transcendent realities, it can be, well, it was, of course, in early Judaism, but also in the Asian religions, such as Confucianism or Buddhism, they had the same kind of shift, right? We had this manner of relating to to a possible transcendent reality that is very deep, and I think it's more the question of, where is God? And that's what we read in the Psalms, right? And the people who are really engaged in social justice movements, who are suffering from the violence of the state because they are really committing for just causes, right? To preserve the common goods, who are being really spied and surveilled by the state, who makes their life really more difficult. They are really experiencing this loss of evidence, this loss of, being helped by anything, right? So they are asking, where is God? Even if
It
they
reminds me
don't.
of the great story of Job, who, as you may recall, has nothing to do with Israel whatsoever. It's a story that's right in the middle of all this stuff about Israel, and then there's this Job guy who's like, I don't know, in like Yemen or whatever. And it's just like, yeah, where is God? That's the question.
Yeah. And
Well, I really
somehow God.
appreciate you coming and being on the show. And is there anything you would like to say before we wrap up? I'll ask you to send me links afterward that I can put in like the show notes. And obviously, we'll remain in contact.
No, I'd like
Hopefully,
to.
you'll come to the sunny south at some point.
Yeah, no, I'd like to say that to all. all our Anglophone audience that it's really important now that we are entering the second quarter of this 21st century that we developed, I would say, an internationalism among, Christians who are really conscious of what's going on in the world, because we are now facing the rise of authoritarian powers in diverse political contexts. Of course, in Russia it has been for a while, but now in the US, somehow in the UK also, in France, of course, in South America, of course, in Brazil, in Argentina. And we have to make sense of this situation, not only as, citizens, but also as Christians, because we are faced with maybe the conservatism of our institutions, and we need to challenge them while remaining faithful to the gospel, right? And it's very difficult. And for me, it has always been a pleasure and a big help, to read what's going on in the US, because then you can compare, and comparing means, seeing the differences and the similarities. And it's when you have this contrastive view on social realities, on different kinds of social realities, that you are probably better at, judging what is good, what is better to be done in your own situation, right? And yes, and lastly, I'd like to apologize for my English.
No, your English is fine.
That's
French people are always too quick to apologize for the English because what they don't understand is we don't have any Académie Anglaise and there's no right way to speak English, folks.
Yes, that's a manner of being polite, but still,
Now my child is breaking into the recording, so we should end. Thank you,
Yeah,
Pierre
thank you,
Louis. I'll
Henri, for your
talk to you
time, man.
soon.
L'hiver 71, c'est l'hiver du chaos, l'hiver de la défaite devant les Pruscos, l'hiver de la souffrance et l'hiver de la faim, l'hiver des collabos, des faux républicains.
Il commence à fleurir des cocards, d'écarlate, et bientôt dans la rue, le cri du peuple éclate.
Paris entre en insurrection et Paris doit lutter contre la réaction. Étudiants, ouvriers, armez vos chasse-pots du haut des barricades, agitez vos drapeaux, agitez vos drapeaux, les Versaillais canonnent,
agitez un mouchoir rouge du sang d'un homme.
Versaillais, Versaillais, vous avez fusillé le corps d'une révolution. Jeté en prison, mais il reste à Paris l'esprit des insurgés. Mais il reste à Paris l'esprit des insurgés. Avec la cruauté d'une bête sauvage, Thiers a tué la commune en un rouge carnage. Derrière les tombes et les croix d'un cimetière, à 10 contre 200, les révolutionnaires,
les derniers fédérés contre un mur sont tombés, ne murmurant qu'un mot, le mot fraternité.
Versaillais, Versaillais, vous avez fusillé le corps d'une révolution, vous l'avez jeté en prison, mais il reste à Paris l'esprit des insurgés, mais il reste à Paris l'esprit des insurgés. Versaillais, Versaillais, vous avez fusillé le corps d'une révolution, vous l'avez jeté en prison, mais il reste à Paris l'esprit des insurgés, mais il reste à Paris l'esprit des insurgés.